Hey friends, this is Pastor Brian Worth. Thanks for listening to my latest sermon. Get more of my teachings on YouTube at Chapel of Change TV and tune in every Sunday on the radio on 99.5 FM for fresh hope.
Amen. Good morning, good morning. Did any of y'all know that Pastor Irene was in a woman's home before? Yeah, she was in a one-man cell. Praise God. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. God is good all the time. Let's make some noise for those watching online. We want to welcome all those watching online. God bless you wherever you're tuning in from. God bless you. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew's chapter 7, Matthew's chapter 7, verse 7. When you do that, put your finger there because I'm going to read another verse. You're going to turn to another verse. You're going to turn to John chapter 5. So turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Keep your finger there, but then turn to John chapter 5, verse 1, because we're going to start off in John chapter 5. Anybody excited about the Word of God this morning? Praise God. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, keep your finger there. Turn to John chapter 5, because we're going to start off in John chapter 5. Now, as you're turning there, just a couple special points of clarity I want everybody to understand. Today we have our annual church meeting at 2:15, so if you're a member of the church or you want to participate in our meeting, you're invited to come back. We have important voting that's going to take place this afternoon. But I want to be doubly clear that the purchase of that ranch home for the women's home is still a possibility. We're going to be raising funds for the women's home, but if that does not go through, then the funds are still going to be used for the vision of the women's home as well as the Kingsman home. So whether or not the women's home happens in that home or not, we're not 100% sure, but we need to be ready. Everybody understand that? So we're committed to the vision of the women's home, but we need to be ready to purchase this home because right in front of us, that's what's there. Everybody understand that? So I want you to be clear, and if that home doesn't go through, then together we're going to be disappointed together, and then we're going to pray together. And then we're going to move forward together. I could have easily kept it a secret and just burdened it myself. But I decided to let y'all in because I need to double our faith. Everybody understand that? So we're taking steps for the home. And we'll know within about a month. So far, it's looking good. But again, it's still, these type of deals are not for sure until it happens. Does everybody understand that? So I want you to just be aware of that so everybody understands that. But the vision of the women's home, regardless if it happens there or somewhere else, by the grace of God, in his timing, we're going to do that. Someone say amen to that. I also passed out a letter. You should have got it in your bulletin. Make sure at some point in time, do not read it while I'm preaching. But sometime today, please read that letter. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, keep your finger there, and then we're going to start off in John chapter 5, verse 1. And this event is known as the healing at the pool of Bethesda. The healing at the pool of Bethesda. Now, let me read the word of the Lord. You could follow along. John chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there who had been invalid for 38 years. Someone say 38 years. Just take note of that. Because eventually we're going to come back to that. For 38 years, he was stuck in one place. Take note of that. Let's pause. 38 years. That's a long time. Wouldn't you agree with that? 38 years he was stuck in one place. 38 years a door was shut. 38 years. That's almost as old as me. Verse 6, turn to verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" I love that about God. He's always trying to get us to the next level. He's always trying to get us to the next dimension. He's always trying to get us to the next phase. You want to get well? Are you tired of just laying there? You tired of being behind a closed door? Aren't you tired? Aren't you frustrated by now? 38 years, long time. Don't you want to get well? Don't you want to get delivered? Don't you want to be whole? I love that about Jesus. He's spurring on his faith. He's steering them up, asking them a question. Don't you want to get well? Oftentimes when God asks a question in the Bible, the answer is not for God, because God knows everything. Oftentimes when God asks a question, it's for you to reflect upon the answer. Sometimes you will not get up until somebody asks you a question. Sometimes you will not get up in life until you hear the questions of God. How long are you going to be in that situation? How long are you going to keep going around in circles over and over again? And that question is not meant to condemn us. It's meant to spur us on. Like, you know, you're right. You're right. I don't need to be like this. 38 years, a long time. It's time for me to rise. It's time for you to rise. Someone say, it's time for me to rise. Someone say, it's time for me to rise. Amen. Look at verse 7. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me." If you have your Bible, underline that phrase. I want to emphasize that. I have no one to help me. Now put that on the shelf of your mind, because I'm going to come back to that. But I want to emphasize that. 38 years. And I don't know, we don't know the details. We can only speculate. But 38 years, he was not friendly enough to have someone in his life to help him. 38 years, he was not lovable enough to have someone in his life to like him. 38 years, what was his problem? The problem was that he didn't have the idea to get up. He didn't say, "I don't have the energy to get up." He said, "I have no one to help me." No one to help him. There's no one there. It's a sad thing. We don't know the details of this. But let me just, generally speaking, it's a sad thing to go through life and we're so fiercely independent that we have no one there to help us. Many people are been shut behind a closed door, because there's no one to help him. May that not be us. So listen to what he says. He says, "I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Verse 8. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up." Someone say, "Get up." Get up. That's authority right there. I love that. Out of his mercy. Out of his mercy, Jesus uses his authority, his dominion. Jesus is always... When you think about dominion, it's about setting wrong things right. And Jesus is always setting the wrong things right. Get up. Get up. Notice that. He didn't negotiate with the situation. He didn't bow down to the situation. Get up. And some of us, we need to learn how to use our dominion and stop trying to negotiate with the problems of life and use our dominion to make wrong things right. He says, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Beautiful picture of restoration. How Jesus, when Jesus gets done with us, we start to function in life. So we've been praying for open doors over your life for these last several weeks. On the weekends, we've been studying from this broad subject of understanding the mystery of doors. And we're praying for doors of opportunity over your life. Doors of promotion, doors of power, doors of influence, doors of blessing. And we've learned that a door represents access, authorized access. Remember we learned that? Access to blessing, access to new possibilities, access to new seasons in life. You're done going around in circles. You're done sitting down for 38 years. You got access to a next season in life. We've learned that most doors, when we encounter them, will be initially closed. We've learned that. Most doors, when we encounter them in your journey in life, will initially be closed. And we need to learn how to open those doors that God wants us to open. Now, we learned that not all closed doors are bad. Some closed doors are meant to protect us. Some closed doors are meant to redirect us. In the kingdom of God, rejection is redirection. We learned that some closed doors are meant to increase our value. God is shutting that door for a season to increase your value. And when that door opens, you're going to have strength and power and ability to walk through it with ease. So sometimes he closes a door for a season to increase your value. But there are some doors that are closed not because of God. There are some doors that are closed because of we live in a broken and evil world. And situations and circumstances try to close doors in our life. There are also some closed doors that are closed because of the devil, because of evil spirits, because the enemy is intimidated by the new you, the stronger you. He's intimidated not by the person you are on this side of the door, but he's intimidated by the person you will become when you walk through that door. So there are some doors where the enemy closes it because he's intimidated by the stronger version of you. The more wiser version of you, the more anointed version of you. So he wants to keep you for 38 years stuck in a place of going around in circles, because once you pass that door, a stronger version of you comes alive, and he doesn't want to see that. Are you following along? So there are some doors that the enemy shuts, and we need to be able to discern. What do we do before a closed door? Lord, do you want me to wait? Do you want me to be patient? Do you want me you want to work on me a little bit more before I open this door? Or God, is there some type of demonic force behind this that I need to, you want to open up? So there's some doors that God wants us or wants to open up. And we learned that there are three general ways to open up doors. Three general ways. One is keys. We've been learning about keys for the last several weeks. Keys represents a understanding and application of a biblical principle that addresses your problem. That's a key. Every time you get a revelation of the scripture and apply it to your life that addresses your problem, you turn to key. Remember Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Those keys unlock doors. So there's three ways you open up doors: through keys, through knocking, and then the third way is through supernatural force. Supernatural force. And we'll talk about supernatural force probably next week. But today I want to deal with knocking. Someone say knocking. I want to help you to open up doors through knocking. Through knocking. What does that mean? What does that entail? What is that all about? Now, this is where we turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. I hope you got there. I gave you about 5 minutes to get there. Listen to the word of the Lord. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock. Someone say knock. Someone say knock. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who acts receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, someone say knocks, knocks, the door will be open. Notice that. The one who knocks, the door will be open. The one who knocks, the door will be open. Listen, I want you to pay attention for the next several minutes, because what I'm about to teach you can help you advance in life. And a lot of you, if not all of us, are going to encounter a lot of closed doors. And some of those doors, God is saying, God, I want to open that door up for you, but you got to learn the principle and the method on how to open it up. Are you following along? So he says one way you open a door is through knocking. Someone say knocking. Knocking. What does that mean? What does that mean? Knocking refers to the help of men and women in life. Knocking refers to the help of men and women. Now pay attention. If you have a key, you can open the door yourself. If you have a key, you can open the door yourself. But when you must knock, it means you don't have the power yourself to open that door. Are you following along? If you must knock, that means there must be someone on the other side that loves you enough to open the door, that likes you enough to open the door, that favors you enough to open the door. Are you following along? If you have a key, you could open the door yourself. You turn the key. But there are some situations in life where you will not find the key fast enough to open the door. So you need to learn to knock. You need to learn to knock. Knocking refers to the ministry of men and women in our life, the help of men and women in our life. When you knock, you need to have somebody on the other side that likes you enough to open the door, that loves you enough to open the door, that sees favor enough in their heart for you to open the door. Is anybody following along? This speaks to the power of destiny relationships to open doors. Knocking speaks to the power of destiny relationships to open up doors. The power of the right men and women in our lives to open doors. Now hear me today. This is for everybody, but particularly you young people in the house. You better pay attention because I'm about to lace you up. That's going to transform your next 20 years. It's going to transform your next 20 years. If you catch what I'm teaching you this morning, you apply it to your life, it's going to help you for the next 20 years. Now, what are destiny relationships? Let me remind you. Destiny relationships, these are people sent into your life to help fulfill your destiny. People sent into your life to help fulfill your destiny. God strategically places people in your life to advance you. He strategically places people in your life to advance you. These are people that add value to your life. Destiny relationships. These are strategic people that God has placed in your life to help advance you. Now, if you're a teenager in your life, your first destiny relationship is your parents or your guardian. Your parents are your guardian. There is no one who loves you more than your parents or your guardian. Ain't nobody in this world who wants you to succeed more than them than your mama, than your daddy, than your guardian, than the one who is taking it. Ain't nobody in this world wants to see you succeed more than them. That's a destiny relationship. But you're going to learn that's not the only destiny relationships, that as you travel through life, there's going to be doors that are shut that you're not going to be fast enough to get the key to get in there. You're not going to have the education to go get through that door. You're not going to have the power to get to that door through yourself. And God is going to place people in your life that love you enough to open the door, that show favor enough to you to open the door. Are you following along? We're talking about opening up doors through destiny relationships. And it's important to note that advancement in life comes through destiny relationships. Advancement in life comes through destiny relationships. Fulfilling destiny is impossible without relationships. Fulfilling destiny in life is impossible without relationships. Remember, when we talk about destiny, we're talking about God's specific plan for your life. If you still have oxygen in your lungs, if your heart is still beating, God has a destiny for you in this world. There's a specific strategic plan for you to fulfill. You are not here by accident or happenstance. You didn't just show up. I don't care what the circumstances was behind your birth. I can tell you right now that God was behind the scenes working it out. And you're here by God's choosing and his selection. And there is a plan for you to follow. Now, you could come out with your hands up right now, or you can kick and buck and waste 30 years of your life going around. 38 years that man sat down. Advancement in life comes through destiny relationships. And destiny relationships are bridges to an exceptional life. Destiny relationships are ladders to help you get to the next level in life. Listen, the easiest way to succeed in life is through destiny relationships. It's the easiest way to succeed. Now, you're looking at someone like I've studied this in the Bible, but I've also experienced this in real life. You're looking at someone who has experienced high levels of success, but I didn't do it the traditional way. I came up the hard side of the mountain. You follow along? I came up the hard side of the mountain. You're looking at, by God's grace, you're looking at someone, I didn't just read about this in the Bible, it's founded in the Bible, but I've seen it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. You're looking at someone who's experienced high-level success in life, and I didn't do it the traditional route. I came up the hard side of the mountain, and through my journey, God has placed strategic destiny relationships at each point where I didn't have the strength to open up the door, I didn't have the education to open up the door, I didn't have the money to open up the door. I didn't have the wisdom to open up the door, but God will place somebody in my life to say, come on, Brian, walk on through. The easiest way to succeed in life is through relationships. This is why the enemy, I've taught you this. Some of y'all weren't listening, so I'm going to repeat myself. When the enemy comes to disrupt your life, one of the first strategic assaults that he does on your life is he attacks the relationships with people that love you and that can help you. That's one of the first things that he does to get you disrupted, to mess you up. This is spiritual warfare. He doesn't want to see you walk through the door. He doesn't want to see you be all that God has called you to be. So the first thing that he does is he attacks the strategic relationships of the people that love you, because he knows if he can isolate you, if he can get you upset and frustrated, you will not get up. You will stay down for 38 years, and he don't have to deal with the stronger you. He don't have to deal with the more wiser you. He don't have to deal with the more anointed you. So he attacks those relationships to get you isolated and laying down for 38 years. But I declare, you ain't going to lay down for no 38 years. It's your time to rise in Jesus' name. You ain't going to lay down for 38 years. It's my time. Get up. Get up. Get up. Someone say, I'm getting up. The easiest way to succeed in life is through relationships. And Proverbs 13, verse 30 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Look how relationships shape and mold you. You become who you are connected to. You become who you're connected to. I just want to remind you that God created us on the basis of relationships and connectedness. And there's levels in life you'll never get to without someone who helps you. There's levels in life you'll never get to without someone to help you. Remember Joseph in the Bible. I'm going to refer to him a couple times. Remember Joseph? Everybody remember the story of Joseph? He was gifted. He knew how to interpret dreams. He was anointed. But he still needed someone to speak to Pharaoh on his behalf. Even though he could interpret dreams, even though he was gifted and anointed, he still needed someone to speak to Pharaoh on his behalf. See, if you ignore destiny relationships, you will hinder your advancement in life. If you ignore destiny relationships, if you don't learn to develop destiny relationships, you will hinder your advancement in life. What was the problem with that man who laid down for 38 years? What was his problem? I already told you, but I'm going to remind you again. In John 5, verse 7, it says, I have no one to help me. That was his problem. He didn't say, I didn't have the energy. He didn't say, I didn't have the vision. I didn't have the idea to get up. I've been wanting to get up for a long time, but I have no one to help me. See, his limitation in life was that he was not connected to the right people. His limitation in life was that he was not connected to the right people. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10 says, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. That phrase, I have no one to help, it's the story of many people today. It's the story of many people today. Why have you not risen yet? Why haven't you not broke through yet? Why have you not been blessed yet? One of the reasons is because we've adopted a spirit of fierce independence. And I understand that that many of us have been hurt by people. We've been hurt by people, right? And so we developed this fierce independence where I don't need nobody. I don't need nobody. And listen, that may have been true for you to survive, but God doesn't just want you to survive. God wants you to thrive. You could survive on the ground for 38 years if you want to. You could stay on the ground for 38 years, but God doesn't want you just to survive. So my challenge to somebody here today, if you know you survived, if you know you're still alive, it's time for you to go to the next level. God wants you to thrive, and you need somebody to help you go through that door. Are you following along? See, this implies that many of us have not placed value on strategic relationships. Now, I want to remind you of a couple key destiny relationships. And I'm only going to point out a couple, but what I want to emphasize, if God sends you any of these relationships, you better cherish them. If God graces you, and I'm going to pray he graces you with these relationships, but if you ever spot one of these relationships near you, you better nurture this relationship. You better pay the price to maintain this type of relationship. You better swallow your pride and do what you do to keep this relationship. Because you're one relationship away from the next level in your life. Let me just identify two as we journey through our learning this morning. Divine burden bearers. Burden bearers. These are faithful people who stay with you through difficulty until you prosper. They're burden bearers. They're loyal people to help you to navigate through the storms of life. Burden bearers are not there for your crown, but they're there for your cross. Burden bearers are not there looking for your crown, but they're actually looking for your cross to help you carry it up. Be careful for those that just want your crown. Be careful. There's many people in here that will be around you just because of your crown. But you need to find somebody who wants your cross, who's able to help carry your cross. And if you ever find one of them, you better swallow your pride. You ever find one of them, you better swallow your pride and do what you got to do to nurture that relationship. There's times in your life when you need people to stay. You need people that are anointed to stay. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. These are burden bearers. Burden bearers will not just stand with you, but they will metaphorically die with you. They will not just stand with you, but they will metaphorically die with you. They'll not just rejoice and clap with you, but they'll cry with you. Think of Moses. There was a time when the children of Israel were going through a battle and they needed Moses strong. They needed him to lift up his arms. But because Moses was human like everybody else, he grew weak. And something happened in Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. Listen to this. It says, Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. Sometimes life does that to you, right? Sometimes life wearies you. Sometimes life frustrates you. Sometimes life gets you to try to throw in the towel. But look what happened with Moses. It says, so Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. Holding up his hands. Those are burden bearers right there. So his hands held steady until sunset, and you read the rest of the story. As long as Moses' hands was lifted up, they won the battle. As soon as his hands went down, they began to lose. But there were burden bearers in his life that kept his hands up, and then burden bearers helped him to win the war. Even Jesus had someone to help him carry the cross. Remember, Jesus was walking out of human weakness. He falls and stumbles. There was a burden bearer that came and helped him carry the cross. If that burden bearer was not there, he may have died on the street. And if he died on the street, it wouldn't have been a sacrifice because he needed to get on that cross. But the burden bearer helped him. There are people that God will send into your life that they're not just for the crown, but they're for the crosses in your life. And if you ever find one of them, you better swallow your pride and you better do what you have to do to nurture that relationship. Someone shout amen. Secondly, I just want to identify there are what you call divine influencers. We're talking about opening doors through destiny relationships. Divine influencers are people with credibility. They're gatekeepers that open doors. People with access and influence. People with credibility. Gatekeepers of industries. Gatekeepers of domains. Gatekeepers of even spiritual realms of that they've already broke through. They're people with access and influences. Hear me today that God blesses us through the endorsement of credible people. He endorses us through the endorsement of credible people. So stop focusing on who doesn't like you. Remember, I taught you that in this world, it's not who don't like you that matter. It's who love you that matter. It's not who doesn't like you that matters. It's who loves you that matters. You may have the anointing. You may have the calling. You may have the certificate. You may have the education. But you will still need someone to speak up for you. You will still need someone to open up the door. Remember, we're talking about knocking. We're talking about knocking. If you have to knock, someone on the other side has to love you enough to open that door. Someone on that other side has to show favor to you enough to open that door. Remember, again, think of Joseph. That brother was anointed. He was gifted. He could interpret dreams. Yet he still needed someone to speak to Pharaoh on his behalf. Let me read this string of verses about Joseph. Listen to this. Just listen. Genesis chapter 41, verse 9. Just listen. It says, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Now a young Hebrew was there with us. We told him our dreams and he interpreted them for us. Listen, this next phrase is powerful. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Wow. Joseph did not see that. Joseph was still in prison, still trusting in God. Still believing in God. He was still facing heartache and rejection. But all along, God was maneuvering behind the scenes with a divine influencer speaking in the ear of the most powerful person in all of Egypt. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, not just because he knew how to interpret dreams, but because someone spoke about him. You're going to need somebody to speak on your behalf. You're going to need somebody. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how fast you are, how anointed you are. You're going to need somebody with credibility eventually to speak on your behalf. Are you following along? I haven't just read about this in the Bible, but I've experienced this in my life as well. I remember several years ago, I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was in a room full of pastors and leaders, and I befriended a pastor by the name of Dudley Rutherford. I want to show you this picture right here. We have that picture to show them. But I was in this room in Dallas, Texas, and I befriended this pastor named Dudley Rutherford. And I didn't realize at the time, but he was the pastor of probably the biggest church in California, probably one of the biggest churches in the nation. And I didn't realize it at that time, so I sit down next to him, and I share with him a little bit of my story, but I'm also listening to him. I'm also, just sitting in his presence, and I didn't realize, but about 2 months later, he would call me up, and he would say, Brian, I have an open slot on my radio program. Do you want to be on it? I looked at my schedule, and I said, I'm open. I can go. He was the one that opened the door for us to be on the radio for them 2 years that we were on radio. As a divine influencer, open up the door. And then one time he said, Brian, I want you to preach at my church. I want you to preach at my church. And I went to his church. His sanctuary has 3,500 seats. And I was in the back green room. And he wasn't there, but he was texting me. He says, Brian, I just want you to know that Manny Pacquiao and his whole family are in the second row of the sanctuary. The end of the service, I go into the green room, and I'm in the green room, and they open the door, and guess who comes through the door? Manny Pacquiao, and I get to pray over him. Divine influencers, gatekeepers that open up the doors, that elevate you. And so we must take the time to develop relational skills to maintain destiny relationships. We must take the time to develop relational skills to maintain destiny relationships. What I've learned is that Satan doesn't mind you getting spiritual, just don't get relational. What I've learned is that Satan doesn't mind you can clap your hands, just don't learn how to forgive. You can sing a song, just don't know how to love. What I've learned is that Satan doesn't mind you getting spiritual, but he doesn't want you to be relational, because once you learn how to be relational, then people are going to start liking you, and then people are going to start favoring you. And when the right people start liking you and the right people start favoring you, then that's when doors start to open and you start to walk on through. So you must develop relational skills. You must develop relational skills to maintain destiny relationships. Are you following along? So let me just identify a couple principles of relationships before we pray. I told you already, but I'm going to tell you again, who hates you in this world does not matter, but who likes you does. That means stop focusing on the people that don't like you. Focus on those who do. There are people who love you. There are people who like you. Who hates you in this world does not matter, but who likes you does. Another principle I would give you is you must rise above competitive jealousy. You must rise above competitive jealousy. Don't be envious of people who are ahead of you. Don't be envious of people who are much smarter than you, much wiser than you, more talented than you. God has placed you amongst people that are ahead of you to spur you on, to challenge you to rise up, not so that you could get jealous. God has placed you in different circles of people that are more smarter than you, not so you could be jealous, but to spur you on, to say, man, if God can do it in their life, he could do it in my life. I better read a book. I better go back to school. I better elevate my game. Are you following along? I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it with you again. If you're always the smartest person in the room, then you're dumb. If you're always the smartest person in the room, then you're not that smart. You ought to have some circles here and there of people when they speak, you don't even understand what they talk about. Did you catch that? There ought to be circles that you enter into every now and then. When they speak, you don't know what they're talking about because they're talking from the next level. That's when you know God is about to elevate you. I met a new friend recently. He's an older owner and founder of a company, and he invited me to lunch, and he took me to his business, and he gave me a tour of his business, and he was taking me to this part where they make certain things, and then he took me to this other part where this other group of people are making certain things, and then he takes me to this other room where they do certain things to this piece of metal. And I gotta be honest with you, 70% of what he said, I did not understand. But I sure was smiling. I was like, amen. Wow, that sounds pretty interesting. Because I know when God moves about to take you to the next level. One of the indications that God is about to take you to the next level, he puts you in rooms of people that are already living at that next level. So don't get jealous. Don't get mad. Don't get envious. Start to praise God and put a smile on your face. Galatians 5:26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Here's one last thing that I'll share. We're talking about principles to nurture destiny relationships. Avoid evil speaking and backbiting. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't let a negative word come out of your mouth about somebody. Don't do it. Don't do it in the name of religion. Don't do it in the name of you got to pray for somebody. Don't do it in the name of spirituality. Avoid evil speaking and backbiting. Listen, words have wings. I don't care where you say it. You can go to the most secure island in the middle of the world. You release that word, it has wings, and it will fly back to the individual. Some people talk about everyone, and when there is no one to talk about, they talk about themselves. That's how deep that is. Some people talk about everyone, and when there's no one to talk about, they talk about themselves. I heard it said that losers talk about people, mediocre people talk about things, but great people talk about vision and ideas. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I want to read one more scripture and then we'll pray. This scripture that I'm about to read in James chapter 1, verse 19, just let it hit you. Let it hit you. I'm going to read. I'm going to declare it over your life. Remember, we're not just reading scripture. I'm declaring it over your life. But this scripture right here has helped me. It has delivered me so many times. You know, the way that I discovered that I was a preacher is
I first realized that I had a big mouth. Like, I didn't realize, I didn't discover my gift of preaching in a positive sense. I discovered my gift of preaching in a negative sense. I realized that I had a big mouth and I always talk too much. And from that negative experience, eventually I said, man, I think I have a gift. But sometimes there are dark sides to gifts that if you don't control your gift or navigate it or harness it for the glory of God, that same gift can be used to hurt somebody else. Are you following along? That same gift can be used to hurt somebody else. And so this scripture that I'm going to read over your life, it's really developed me. It has also helped me. It has given me etiquette to stand before great people. Listen, I'm praying that God sends divine influencers in your life. I'm praying that God sends divine influencers in your life. I'm praying that God sends destiny relationships into your life. But there is an etiquette in standing before great men and women. There's an etiquette on how to behave before a great man or a great woman. And this verse has helped me to be able to sit before someone who is a high achiever in the kingdom of God and not blow that relationship. Are you following along? I'm going to declare this over you. Listen, James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Remember, note takers are world shakers. Note takers are world shakers. Take note of this. Everyone, someone say everyone. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Man. You memorize this verse right here, it's going to open up some doors for you. You memorize and apply this verse to your life, it's going to help you to get before great men and women in this world that ultimately will open up some doors in your life. Everyone should be quick to listen. You know what you do when you stand before a great man or a woman? You know what you do? You zip it. You zip it. You don't tell them how much you know. You don't tell them how much you have accomplished. You don't tell them how much you have done. You don't tell them how smart you are. No, you zip it. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. May that verse come alive in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads in the presence of the Lord. Just for a couple moments, let's bow our heads. I want to pray. I want us to pray. I'm going to call up Pastor Raymond to help me pray. I want to pray over us. I want to ask God. I want to ask God to send destiny relationships into our life. We want to release destiny relationships into our life, men and women who will favor us and open up doors for us. But I also want to pray that God develop relational skills in us. I want to pray for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering to develop in our life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want, as we pray, I want you to pray too. I don't want to just be the one praying. You are a people to pray. We've taught you how to pray. I want you to pray too. So we're praying for two things. We're asking God to release destiny relationships into our life. And we're also asking God to help us to develop in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. So church, just for a couple moments, let's pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for everybody underneath the sound of my voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray for your people today, Father God. I pray that the word that was spoken today come alive, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God. I pray that the word that was spoken today come alive in their heart right now, in Jesus' name. I pray that the word that was spoken, Lord God, reveal to them, Father God. You give them revelation knowledge, Father God, in Jesus' name. I pray that you give them understanding, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that your word come alive to them. Let it explode in their heart, Father God. Let this not just be a religious activity, Father God, but let this be a spiritual encounter, Lord God, with your word, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray. Lord, we pray for destiny relationships to be released in our life. Destiny relationships to be released in our life in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray that any closed door that is stopping destiny relationships from coming into their life be opened right now in Jesus' name. I pray for closed doors to be opened right now in Jesus' name. I pray for destiny relationships to be released right now in Jesus' name. I pray for any hindrances, Father God, to be removed right now in Jesus' name, Father God. Lord, release your destiny relationships into their life. Release burden bearers, Father God, in Jesus' name. People that will encourage them. People that will uphold them, Father God. And Lord, we repent from a spirit of fierce independence, Lord God. We repent from a spirit of fierce independence right now, Lord God. Forgive us, oh Lord God, for thinking we could do this all by ourselves, Father God. Forgive us, Lord God, when we isolate ourselves. Forgive us, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for just isolating ourselves, for going into the corner, for throwing a pity party, Lord God. Oh, help us rise, Lord God. Help us rise, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Help us rise, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray for some fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Raymond, pray for fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray the peace over your people, the peace that surpasses all understanding, Father God. We thank you, God, that we are fruit bearers in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you deposited good seed in our spirits, God. And Lord, right now, God, I pray for self-control in the name of Jesus. I pray for just the love, Lord, that forgives, that doesn't hold accounts, that is long-suffering, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that we are attached to you, God, and we can do nothing outside of you, Lord God. Thank you for the leading and the nourishment and the ability through your Holy Spirit to produce not only fruit, God, but fruit that lasts, God. I thank you for modeling it, Lord, by demonstration when you came on earth, how to live, how to love, and how to be obedient, God. And I thank you, God, that you give us the Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring healthy conviction, healthy nudging, healthy confirmation as we walk out your word, God. I thank you, God, for destiny relationships, God, right now. God, and right now, God, I repent in the name of Jesus, Lord, for not valuing those relationships like I should. Lord, I repent for not thinking this person was sent by you, God. I thank you, God, that we got an opportunity to go back to those people that you have placed, that we've been rejecting, that we've been allowing the lies of the enemy to create distance between us, God. And Lord, give us the ability by your love, God, to see those people as a divine destiny relationship, God. Lord, I know who I'm thinking about right now. I know the people that I need to value. I know the people that I need to cherish, God. I thank you for the revelation of your word this morning, God. And Lord, Father God, we claim and we proclaim, God, that with you, Lord, Father God, who could be against us? And with you, Father God, there is nothing that is impossible, God. So, Lord, I thank you for the love of you, God. I thank you that you heal us and that you have made us whole, God. So, Lord, we are ready, God, to go to that next level. We are ready to walk into areas that we've been stuck, God, because you are calling us, God, and giving us everything we need to be successful, God. And we thank you, and we love you, and we honor you this morning. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give it up to the Lord and the Word of God this morning. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. At this time, we're going to transition to our tithes and offerings portion of our service. And as we prepare to give unto God, I have a scripture out of John 3:16. Who knows that scripture? I'm going to read it. Even though we know it, I'm going to read it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. Amen. I want to focus on what God did in this whole dynamic. It said that he gave God gave. And how many know without God giving, we wouldn't be in the position that we are in today? And as we prepare for the offering, I want to just encourage us that we want to just give back out of gratefulness, out of gratitude, and out of thankful hearts for God gave his son that we may be with him forever. And as the ushers come forward, we have many ways to give here at Chapel of Change. Some are behind my screen, online, text, mail, or in person, as we're about to facilitate that this morning. Also, if you want to give by debit card, we have a debit machine in the back table that a sister would facilitate that for you at the end of service. And we also have Scan to Give, or you can use by your phone app and take a picture and give that way as well. We have some announcements. We have our annual church meeting at 2:15 sharp, directly after our second service. This is a meeting for members, for members, for members. If you are not a member, you're just an attendee, which is good. It's a stage, right? You come check out the church, you become an attendee, and then you go into the next level of membership, which is a little bit more accountability, a little bit more partnering, a little bit more just saying, I'm supporting this vision. So if you're not a member and you want to be a part of this meeting, at 1 p.m. during our 12:30 service at 1 p.m., Pastor Vaughn, would you stand to your feet? See Pastor Vaughn at 1 p.m. during the 12:30 service. He's going to be conducting a membership seminar. So if you're interested and you want to be a part of this meeting coming up, and you say, you know what, it's time for me to be a member, please see Pastor Vaughn, and he'll give you all the information you need. Also, I just want to remind you, as we're preparing for our resurrection celebration, we have our Good Friday service, worship service, amen. Friday night, it's going to be at 7:15, March 29th, here at Chapel of Change, in preparation of resurrection celebration. And also, we're going to have our resurrection celebration sunrise service Sunday morning, resurrection day. Come out. If you've never been a part of a sunrise service, we're going to be setting up outside. We're going to be worshiping unto the Lord. It starts a little bit dark, but when by the end of the service, the sun rises. And it's just a great experience to bring in that precious day. So come out, be a part of that. Let us pray, and I'll release the ushers to collect the offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to give. We thank you, God, that you first gave to us, like we know through your scripture, God. Gave to us your son. You give what is near and dear to you, Lord. So God, when we're releasing this fund, Lord, that we recognize that and we cherish that, God. So may you be glorified through it, God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Ushers, you are released.